M7. Number 2B.
So, here we have it again. The reasoning is on the level of divine science. See, the level of divine science is that state of consciousness where your consciousness is so full with the oneness of being that error has no say in it anymore, no place in it anymore, has no argument in it anymore. It's no more arguing within ourselves. But if we have a problem, and the problem is that it argues within ourselves, and that argument says you are sick and you are going to die, that argument says you have lack and you don't know how to live tomorrow, to pay your bill tomorrow, if that argument says you get older and older and weaker and weaker, and if that argument says all sorts of things, then the argument has to be resolved. You can't just take the argument and say you are not existing when it's still arguing within oneself. This has to be resolved and not just neglected. Just closing one's eye to evil and to the arguments of evil is an evil in itself. So again, that method would be wrong. You see, it is, so to say, the metaphysical method that is used there, and this is no good in science. In science, we cannot just take the metaphysical method, which says the realm of reality is above matter, so I'm above matter, I'm not in matter, and therefore the arguments of matter just don't work, and they are nothing, if the arguments are still there. And where are we? Are we still there? Are we already there, day in and day out, from morning to night, when no argument of matter and of lack and of disease and of accident and of any kind of error is no more arguing with us? Are we already there or not? And as we are not there, we jolly well would do better if we would get down to business and consciously resolve the beliefs as we go on. So, this sense of disregarding evil, of shutting one's eye to evil, is just foolishness, because we let evil grow. It is not disproved within our consciousness. Only when it is disproved and seen to be no more evil but good, then we have arrived at the point where we can enter into the realm of science. Alright, so we have taken two extremes and seen that both extremes are trying to apply a theory that belongs to the level of divine science and apply it to experiences on the level of Christian science. You have another kind of practice that is put forward, a practice that has usually been practiced in the beginning of Christian science, but still the practitioners of today use it very often. You have a sense of duality, and so the practice is put forward that says, fight evil with all your might. How do you do that? Affirm the truth, deny evil, deny that there is evil, deny the claims of evil, deny that there evil has a cause, that there evil can have power and law and the channel and can fulfill something, deny it. You begin to argue against it. And you argue against the claim of evil with all your mental might, and that's the method of argumentation. It is not science. And Mrs. Eddy points out that this method has a great danger within ourselves, that if we argue too much and too strongly and too long against evil, that we build evil up, that we make more of evil than we should. Instead of making less, we think it's really a power, it's really something, and one gets afraid of it, and one has a feeling, if I don't think about the problem morning, noon, and night, that if I don't hammer on the problem with what I know as facts, that the problem may be the stronger partner in that whole business. So, again we see that this is a wrong attitude, that theory does not actually resolve duality, but that it builds up duality even more, that it makes evil more real instead of less real, and so we actually disregard the method of Christian Science, which translates evil into good. You have another method that is practiced quite a lot in Christian Science, and that's really a kind of metaphysical method, namely exchanging the objects of sense for the ideas of soul. This is already considered to be a much better and a much higher practice. We could call it a metaphysical practice, metaphysical because metaphysical means above physics. Therefore, that practice takes the physical and rises above the physical. It's exchanging the physical for the ideational. So this is typically metaphysical, and it is a practice that is practiced by many, many practitioners. It still leans back on a false theory. The false theory is this, or the right theory would be what? The right theory which Mrs. Eddy brings forward is that she says that in divine science matter is excluded, and then she goes on and shows that metaphysics resolves things into thoughts and exchanges the object of sense for the ideas of spirit. She starts in her theory with divine science in order to explain the metaphysical process. Whereas the practice usually is, or practically always is when one talks with people, is that they start with the second half of that theory and leave out the first half. They start right in with exchanging the objects of sense for the ideas of soul. How? Because they know another theory which they apply wrongly. They know that every error and every belief is a counterfeit of an idea. So they start with a belief. They start with a material situation. They start with a human belief, with the argument of mortal mind. That argument of mortal mind which tells us what the problem is. And starting with error is no good theory. That's not the theory of Christian Science. We should never start with error and try to reason from error to idea. This is wrong. Therefore, it is actually that metaphysical, I could even say psychiatric method, because they do the same. They do the same. They go out from a belief, they go out from an error, they go out from a subconscious error and try to lift that up. But they go out from error, not from truth. They use mortal mind reading instead of divine mind reading. And so they exchange the object of sense for the ideas of soul, not being aware that their premise is already wrong. Because did truth tell them what the belief is? No, the belief told them what the belief is. And when error instructs us, we shouldn't believe it. Can you see the wrongness of it? Not quite. Doesn't matter. I come back to it this afternoon. Psychosomatic medicine uses the same trick, just as most Christian Science practitioners. They do take a situation as it is and say, what's wrong about that situation mentally, psychologically, and then try to replace that psychological error for a better idea, whatever they understand under idea. But they do the same trick. They are not different than most Christian Science practitioners. They go out from error and through a metaphysical process try to arrive at truth. It doesn't work. It's psychology, it's psychiatry, it's psychosomatic treatment. Nothing better. Only, the difference is only that the doctor who treats them psychosomatically gives a pill just to quiet the patient and feels that he has done something, but the method is practically the same. So let's be clear about this thing. Yeah? So have you seen, we have already stated the same problem of dualism and seen that there are many theories that have been applied. They've always been applied wrongly. There are such theories that spirit is all that matter, nothing. But that's a wrong theory when applied to solving duality. What then is a better, a right practice? There we come perhaps to a fifth way. I just numerate them so that you have a little bit of order in your notes, huh? A fifth way, and that would be really Christian Science. How does Christian Science deal with the problem of duality, spirit-matter, truth-error, life-death? Does Christian Science say to such a situation, you are not material? If your arm is broken, does one say you have no arm because matter doesn't exist? Or do you heal the belief that is behind it? See, Christian Science therefore presents translation as a method. It doesn't present primary destruction of matter, as our first theory was. It doesn't even say, I disregard the belief. It doesn't say, I exchange a broken arm for an idea, for an unbroken arm, or something like that, all that nonsense that went on in the Kimmel period. But it says, I translate the belief that lies behind it. How do I know what kind of belief lies behind it? The disease does not tell me that. The only thing that will tell me is divine mind. And so the Christian Science treatment starts not with the phenomena, with the symptoms. It starts with the divine mind and dwells and sticks to the divine mind. And through that divine mind reading, I will come back later on to that, through that divine mind reading, lets the error be analyzed and uncovered that needs to be destroyed. So in Christian Science we do not start with matter, we start with mind. That one mind tells us exactly what are ideas of mind, and these ideas of mind will replace the objects of sense for the ideas of soul. Then that process starts in as a second phase in the treatment, and not as we have seen before, as a first phase, as we have seen it in the metaphysical treatment. Are you still with me in the categories? Yeah? So, Christian Science, Mrs. Eddy says, translates matter into mind. See, that's treatment. Then you don't destroy matter, you don't neglect matter, you do not go out from matter, but you resolve it and translate it until instead of matter you have an understanding of mind. Then we have the oneness of being. In the same way, actually, on absolute Christian Science, the practice is the same as in Christian Science, with the difference that in absolute Christian Science you deal with latent beliefs and not concrete error. Therefore your treatment in absolute Christian Science is much more broader, much more general. You treat the possibility that there can be in the universe such a thing as a universal belief, as a cosmic belief, as a collective belief, as individual beliefs. You treat there in a general way the possibility that there could be ancestral beliefs, race beliefs, religious beliefs, social beliefs, moral beliefs, national beliefs, and all that. You treat the subconscious mind and therefore resolve there the subconscious mind with the supraconscious mind. Then you have a translation of the latent beliefs into a consciousness of mind. Yeah. Well, you see, that's within the realm of Christian Science and Absolute Christian Science. We must see, therefore, the right practice. Can you see in this case, I just stated it generally, you have generally the problem of duality, good and evil, say. And we have seen that there exist about, I have stated, 6 different theories for practice, and only 2 of them are adequate. All the others are not the right theory for that kind of practice. So, in Christian Science, we cannot just practice in the way that we say, I take just one of these methods and apply it to the situation. You have to apply that which is adequate to the situation. That's why she so often says that the specific case must also be handled through the specific truth, which means a specific kind of problem needs a specific kind of theory which is applicable to the case. Yes. All right. That's about that. So, we have another 5 minutes or so, which I want to take before I start this afternoon with a new subject. By the way, perhaps if you have that little booklet, Notes on Handling Evil, here, you can take it to the class, but if you don't have it, it doesn't really matter very much. I want to take up another point, just as a preparatory point, that comes up again and again. Up to what I have presented, it could look as if this presentation demands quite a bit of understanding. And it does. It really does. Because Mrs. Ellis says Christian Science is both intellectual and spiritual. And she said that the medicine of Christian Science is intellectual and spiritual. Her concept of intellectual is always very positive. She has no negative sense of intellectual. Mostly in the Christian Science field, the moment somebody doesn't like to think and yet would like to get all the benefits of Christian Science, and if you try to make them think and work, they react and say, all this is intellectual, I want the spiritual. What I want is the spiritual, I don't want the intellectual. Again, what they actually say, they want the practical but not the theory. And they look at the intellectual as if it would be something bad. But how can we have a science without that science has a principle, without that science has laws? And therefore, how can we have all those scientific constituents without that we use the best of our faculties, of the human faculties, namely reason and the intellect? We have to use them. Let's be proud of it, that Christian Science is presented not only in an indefinite spiritual way, but also in an intellectual way. And we have seen already last year how important it is that in order to understand this science, that spiritual sense must be wedded with scientific sense. That if we try to get along just with spiritual sense, we'll never get very far. Because, and now you can see it, Because just to get along with spiritual sense without really using the intellectual abilities and the reason, he says, reason is the most active human faculty. Without that, we would never be able to see a new model of thought, because our intellectual capacity would just not be big enough for that. So if we want that whole science to go forward, also in its insight, we have to use our best intellectual capacities. Intellectual does not mean academical. That's usually what is misunderstood, that people feel intellectual has to do with academic training. Now, that's not necessary. Intellectual perfection is not necessary for this study. But academics is very different from intellectual, because most of the academics... Now, what is the personal noun, academics? The a man who is an academic? An academic. That's a man, huh? All right. Most of the academics, huh? They are not at all intellectual. Don't think because they are professors, they are so intellectual, so intelligent. They are not. They have a very narrow view, but they have been learning very well. They've been learning very well their things, and began to know what must be the answer for the professor, for this professor, where they make a thesis. We knew at our university when we graduated for our PhD, we knew exactly what this professor wanted as an answer, and we knew that this professor would ask the same question, he wanted another answer. We knew that. There is no big trick about the PhD if one has some kind of devotion and a bit of study and devotion to it. But the intellect that you need for Christian Science is of much higher caliber, for much higher order. It's not academic. It's the ability to use really our best faculties in thinking, in categories, instead of facts, thinking in relationships, instead of memorizing facts. These things are important for an intellectual approach to a subject. So, because these things are not always clear in the mind of Christian Scientists, they just want to run down anything where they had to use their reason and their intellect a little bit, that they say, oh, this is intellectual, oh, this is academical. But Mrs. Eddy, and then they go on and say, you know, Mrs. Eddy says in the textbook that a grain of Christian Science does wonders for mortals. So why have so much knowledge and understanding? Why investigate it to this nth degree when only a grain of Christian Science is necessary, if only a grain of Christian Science does wonders for mortals? And actually, she says that. We can't deny that. See, she says so. And if we believe in Mrs. Eddy's revelation as adequate and right, then we should accept all what she says and see where she says it, in which connections she says it. These people who quote this statement that the grain of Christian Science does wonders, they stop there at that comma. And then they give their interpretation, which says, therefore I don't really need to study much. I only need that grain, and that's quite enough. They don't read further. The sentence is not at the end. It goes on, that statement, and says, but, and you have a but. The but always says, now comes the real thing. Huh? But more of Christian Science must be gained in order to continue in well-doing. They never quote that. They are quite happy with a few grains. But that, she says, in order to continue, in order that we can unfold our understanding, in order that we can evolve this science that she presented, in order that we can have more revelation from that one revelation. Therefore, that, she says, more of Christian Science must be gained. And so try not to be sidetracked by isolated statements. Always see in which connection they are. We have already seen that they use that statement, metaphysics, resolve things into thought, so all what you have to do is to resolve things into thought. They never state that before that statement is the starting point, namely divine science. What divine science does now, divine science excludes matter, then only she goes on to divine metaphysics. So we have always to see in which connection, in which relationship a statement is made, and not take a statement, half a sentence, just the wording, out of the whole textbook, out of the whole paragraph, and say, this is the method of practice. It isn't. Yes. All right. So we'll see that in every situation we'll have to choose the right theory in order to practice right. Okay, we stop here, and we said at 2 o'clock we go on, and at 2 o'clock we will take these notes on handling evil and have a look at it.